Exodus chapter 3. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm going to be reading quite a bit of scripture here. And again, this is a very familiar story that I'm sure we've all heard, but I'm going to break it down a little bit. And I want to, it's Moses. Moses arguing with God through the burning bush. I want to look at Moses' excuses. I want to look at his excuses, but yet I want to show you through his excuses how God shows how good God is. Exodus chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to a mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. That's a good story. When God calls your name, what's your reply? Is it, Here am I? It's what it should be. And he said, Draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land of flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, and I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. It's absolutely nothing I take lightly, God. I pray that you'll just come down and use me, Lord. I know without you, I have nothing to offer, Lord, so I need you tonight. I pray that you'll just come down and speak through me. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First question, Moses asked God, is who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and take your children out of Egypt? I'm not good enough. Who am I? I'm nobody. I liked what Austin said when he got up here. He said, I'm not good enough to be up here. You know what? There's none of us good enough. There's none of us that deserves to be used of God. We're nobody. As the Bible says, our righteousness are as filthy rags. We are nothing. We don't deserve to be used of God. I don't deserve to be up here preaching. I've not done anything good enough. I can't do anything good enough that I deserve to be used of God. I'm nothing. And the fact that God would look down from heaven and see me and say, I want to use him for my glory, that is a humbling thought. Yeah. When I am, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yet God, he wants to use me, even if I don't deserve it. In verse 12, chapter 3, and it says, And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. Even though God wants to use me, I can do nothing outside of Christ. If God is not with me, I can't do anything. If God's not with me in this message, I waste my breath. If God isn't with me, no matter what it is, because I have nothing to offer God on my own. I have nothing of me and myself. I have got nothing to offer. I'm not good enough to serve God. That is why God is so good. Number one, because he desires to use you. Just as I'm not good enough to serve God, you're not good enough to be used of God either. But through God's grace, through God's mercy, he desires to use you. God then goes on. I'm not going to take the time to read it all, but he instructs Moses as to what he should tell the children of Egypt whenever he goes back unto them and tells them that the Lord had appeared unto him. Look at chapter 4 of Exodus in verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the and he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Verse 5, it says, that they may believe that the Lord their God, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, had appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Second excuse. Moses said, what if they don't believe me? What if they will not hear me? If you try to serve the Lord, let me tell you right now, you will have opposition. You will have people that don't believe you, that say you're crazy. You'll have opposition from usually fellow Christians. When I first got called to preach, I got a lot of fight. I got people that did not believe me. And trust me, I don't blame them for not believing me, because if there's anybody not qualified to preach, it's me. But if you step forward for Christ, if God asks you to do something, the devil will fight you tooth and nail. Do whatever it takes to keep you from serving God, from doing what God has asked. By the way, let me just tell you this. The reason other Christians hate it when you try to do something for God is usually because they're not doing anything for Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
They can't stand the fact that they feel guilty.
That's right.
They can't stand to see somebody doing something they should be doing whenever they know they're doing something, they're not doing things they ought to be doing. But as Christ said unto Moses here, he showed him a couple signs. The Lord's not going to tell you to put your hand in your bosom and pull down, it's going to be leprous. The Lord's not going to use those signs. But you know what? If the Lord asks you to do something and you know it's of God, he'll give you that peace no matter who's against you, no matter who stands opposed to you. Christ will give you that peace, and God will show you that it was him, that he wants you to do it, and that you're going to do the right thing. And also, this is just a side note, but if the good way to know if God is asking you to do something, if it lines up with this word here, there's a good chance you're not imagining it, because I like what Mr. Shell said a while back in Sunday school. He said, I think it's Mr. Shell, but anyway, said there's no good thing in our flesh, correct? That's what the Bible says. If you have a desire to do something for the Lord, it's probably not your flesh desiring to do it, because there is no good thing in our flesh. Now, that's not to say, I mean, yes, we do have desires sometimes that's not God's plan for our life, but God will never tell you to do something that's contrary to his word. The Bible will never, the Holy Spirit inside of you will never contradict God's word. But that's why God is good, because if he asks you to do something, he'll give you peace about it. Yeah. And he'll reveal himself through you. He'll give you, see, God's not going to set you up to fail. If he asks you to do something, he'll give you the means to do it. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10. This is excuse number 3. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of slow speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who hath maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Moses saying, Lord, I'm not capable to do what you ask me to do. Now, don't go getting crazy, all right? If you don't have any arms, God's probably not asking you to drive a bus. Matter of fact, he's probably asking you not to drive a bus. But the thing that we argue with God that we're not capable, for instance, whenever I was going to preach, and I say this every time I preach, I don't have an elegant tongue. I used to have a speech impediment so bad you can barely understand me when I was younger. But you know what? If God's asking you to do something, he'll provide the way.
Yes,
he'll take care of the problems that's standing. He may not remove the problems, but he'll take care of the problems that's standing in the way. No matter what the problem is, whether it be situations or finances, whether it be just everyday problems. And by the way, I'm talking about, all right, God was asking Moses to deliver millions of people out of the land of Egypt. That's a big task. I'd say that was probably pretty scary for Moses.
Amen.
But what's the things we argue God about? Like, Colton, go ahead and track after that guy.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, and I start the whole arguing process with God. I like what Mr. Shell said before too. He said, you get an argument with God. Usually God comes out on top.
Amen.
That is the day. But
amen.
The things we argue with God about, the things, the everyday things he asks us to do, whether it be even read his Bible. Well, Lord, I don't have time. And most of the problems that we use, we create them ourselves.
Right.
Do you really not have time to read your Bible every day? Do you really not have time to pray every day? Do you really have an excuse why you can't witness to that person? I guarantee if you see that person that you didn't witness to thrown into hell, you'll wish you hadn't made that excuse.
Yeah.
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Mark 10:27 says, For with God all things are possible. If God is asking you to do something, let me tell you, you can do it. God, through God, you can do it. But with God, not with you, with God, all things are possible. Why is God good? Because he'll carry you through to complete the task no matter what. Like I said, it wasn't possible for Moses on his own to deliver millions of people out of the land of Egypt, to cross the Red Sea, to go through everything he went through. It took God. And it will take God to get the task done. If you rely on yourself, you'll fail every time. In Exodus 4 and verse 13, his next statement, right after he made the excuse of having a slow tongue, it says, "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." Lord, send somebody else. Yeah. That's what Moses was saying. Send somebody else. Lord, I don't want to do it. Send somebody else. Someone else could do better. Let me tell you this. If God is asking you to do something, there is nobody else that can do a better job than you. That's why God chose you.
You're right, man. You are right.
How many times does God ask us to do something and we say, somebody else will take care of it? How many times do we sit on the sidelines or sit in the corner and just watch as we let somebody else do what God has asked us to do? As I said earlier, I could name about a million people that could preach better than I can. But you know what? I know if God is with me, that I can do it. Not me and myself, but through God,
yeah.
I can preach his word.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still may not be very good at it. I know I'm not very good at it. But you know what? God has called me, so I have the duty and the responsibility to preach his word, whether I want to or not. And don't I want to. I wouldn't rather do anything else. I love preaching the word of God. I love it. But like I said, there's so many people that could do a better job. There's so many people that do a better job than I do. And let me tell you this. Actually, this is how I got this message. Christian, don't compare yourself to other people. Did I call you to preach?
Right.
I said, yes. He says, then it doesn't matter what other people do. It matters what you do.
Yeah.
Don't compare yourself to other people. Yeah. If you start comparing yourself to other people, you'll get discouraged real quick as a Christian.
Right.
I was getting discouraged from preaching because I was comparing myself with Pastor Skyver and Mr. Ballard. Yeah, I can't do as good a job as them. But you know what? If I pray and ask God to give me a message, the message that God gives me is no less important than the message God gives them.
That's right.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Because God's not a respected person. He's not going to give them a better message than me, also, although they probably better present the message than I can, but the message in itself is just as important.
Yes. Right.
And the job that God asks you to do is just as important as anybody else that can do it. God needs you, and he's not going to call you in vain. If God needs you to do a job, it's because he needs you to do the job.
Yeah.
He's not calling you to do a job for you to sit back and let somebody else do the job. And that's why God is good, because he doesn't expect me or expect you to fill the shoes of somebody else. He expects you to fill your own shoes. He expects you to do the job that God called you to do. Like I said, even if somebody else can do the job better, God still called you to do it. And if he called you to do a job, you can get it done by his grace. And the outcome is no less important than if somebody else did it. Now, seeing the big picture, God called Moses to do a job. Moses argued with him. Why did Moses argue? He was lacking a vision. Turn back to Exodus chapter 3. In verse 7, and it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." We have a job as Christians, and it's the Great Commission to spread the gospel that we might see people saved. Why do we argue with God? Because we lack a vision. God told Moses the plan here. He says, "You go to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go, because I'm going to take them out of Egypt into a promised land." You know what? That should have been enough for Moses right there. Well, praise the Lord, that's what he's going to do. But Moses lacked that vision. What vision do we lack? You know what? Whenever God asks you to hand out that tract or to witness that person, why do we argue? Because we lack a vision. We lack a vision of seeing that person saved. Why do you think the bus people get up earlier than we even think about waking up? Why do you think? It's because they have a vision. They have a vision of bus kids coming in here and getting saved. They have a vision of bus kids bringing their parents and their parents walking down and getting saved. They have a vision. And we need a vision as Christians. We need a vision. In Psalms 29:18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." If we don't have a vision as Christians, we'll spiritually perish. Or not go to hell. But you know what? We'll die inside. Because if you're not living for something, what's the point? If you don't have a vision, you'll be idle for Christ. Only you know what God is asking you to do. But why is God so good? In Romans 12:1, we could probably all quote it, but it says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service."
Yes.
God's only asking for reasonable service. Why is God so good? He's asking us for a reasonable service when he did the unreasonable for us.
You're right.
Christ came. He gave his life for us. You know what? Maybe if we think about it like that, maybe getting up an hour early for Sunday school isn't so unreasonable anymore.
Right.
Maybe handing a tract to that person isn't so unreasonable anymore.
Amen.
When we think about what Christ did and what Christ gave up for us. So what about, Christian? Let's quit arguing with God. Let's quit making excuses. Let's live by faith. And like I said, I know this isn't easy to do. It's easy to preach, hard to live. You know what? As I'm 14 years old, I was at Camp Canaan in Kentucky, a Bible camp, summer Bible camp. And you have three messages a day. It was the evening message around 7 o'clock. That's when God knocked on my heart. He said, "Colton, I want you to preach." And, you know, I gave God all four of these excuses that Moses gave. "Lord, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to preach your word." And I'm not kidding you. This is the truth. And I said, "Lord, nobody will believe me that I'm called to preach. I can't tell anybody that I'm called to preach." And I was laying awake. I couldn't sleep that night. I was awake till about 4 o'clock in the morning. you know what? I still wouldn't answer the Lord's call. I said, no, I can't. And just thought for you young boys here, if you're ever called to preach and don't want to preach, don't ever tell Mr. Ballard about it, because he will. That just doesn't work. But you know what? I praise the Lord that God used Mr. Ballard to help me answer the call. Because you know what? If I wouldn't have told Mr. Ballard, I wouldn't be up here tonight. I wouldn't have told anybody. But you know what? Praise the Lord that I praise God. And like I said, there's nothing I'd rather do than preach. Amen. You know why I couldn't sleep that night? Because God was working on my heart, and I didn't have peace. I didn't have the peace because I knew I wasn't doing what God was wanting me to do. Do you have peace? Is there something that God asking you to do tonight that you're not doing? So let's quit arguing with God, and let's answer the call. Let's do what God is asking us to do as Christians. And like I said, think of what Christ did for you, and maybe what he's asking you to do doesn't seem so unreasonable anymore. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this night, Lord, and I thank you for the boys, Lord, that's Austin and Jimmy, Lord, that's willing to get up here and preach your word, Lord. That it's nice to see young boys, Lord, that is willing to preach your word, Lord. It's not an easy thing to do. But God, I pray now that you'll just, Lord, speak to the people here, Lord. I pray that the messages they heard, Lord, that you'll speak to them and use the messages to get a hold of them. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.